Morning, everyone. Thank you all for coming. Thank the organizers for giving me the opportunity to be Marbit Torah again. I personally gain tremendous benefit from going away, download the MP3s very often, and listen to them on the way to everywhere I'm going. Today's title was chosen by Johnny Radson. We're supposed to be speaking about something else, but in order to foster Shalom, we decided not to speak about that, speak to the organizer about that. There's a well-known joke that says that when a man and a woman get married, they become one. The trouble starts when they start to decide which one. And at this time of the Omer, when 24,000 students of the Akiva passed away, because as the Gemara tells us, "Nagu kavod ze mize," it seems only apropos that to discuss some of the elements of the Inyan of Shalom, of peace. It's further perhaps apropos because the prerequisite to Kabbalat Torah was Vayichen Sham Neged Ahar in the singular Keishecha Belevecha, the unity of the Jewish people, which by very definition implies that peace is existing. And that was an absolute necessity to now the receiving the Torah to take place. The challenge of unity is of course quite simply appreciating that while we all have different roles in life and different strengths and different personalities, to still try and get along. There's one on top of time that says why we say Borene Pashot Rabbet Chesronam, we thank Hashem for creating the deficiencies in man, because everyone relies on someone else. The doctor still needs a plumber, who needs a teacher, who needs the electrician, and so forth. The Malbim says that Shalom comes from the root word Shalem, which means perfection, and hopefully in the short time we have together we'll see what a wonderful blessing this really is. If one looks through the Gemara and the Midrashim and the Sforim, they're all rich and replete with a discussion in this important area and topic, but let's try and narrow it down to three specific areas. I want to address perhaps the issue of Shalom, or mistaken Shalom, with our enemies in Eretz Yisrael, Shalom with our friends and families, Shalom with ourselves, and Shalom with Hashem, with the Kodesh Baruch. There is a fascinating midrash that says, Lo nivra ha'olam ela bishvil ha'shalom. The world was created because of peace. The simple concept of a team group effort is the basis of the world. That's what the midrash seems to be saying. The Sforno elaborates, forgot to put this down, but the Sforno elaborates, he said that every single day of creation, Hashem saw what it was, and he said it was good. He said, in the last day, Hineh Tov Me'od. I haven't got the text in front of me. But he mentions over there that in totality, it's much better than the individual soul. What he means is as follows. Imagine you have a car, and you strip it down of all its various bits and parts. In some places, it's very common. And you have a horn, which you can use as a musical instrument. You have perhaps the chairs, which you can use as furniture. You have a storage tank, which you can use where the petrol goes in. You have the spark plugs, which can be used as electricity. My knowledge stops there. This is all great. But altogether, the functioning automobile is much more effective than the sum total of its parts. So too, says the Sforno, that every single area of creation is very top, it's very good. But together, when they work in harmony, says the Sforno, it's Tov Me'od. You can look this up, I forgot to put this down. At the height of the Intifada, when I was learning in Israel, there was an email that circulated from a reporter in the Washington Post. And she wrote that if the Arabs would put down their weapons today, there would be no violence. And if the Israelis would put down their weapons today, there would be no Israel. Now, I'm not going to discuss whether this hashkafah is correct or not from Jewish perspective, but the point seems to be quite simple. We are at war, although it seems at the moment there's a lull in the war, with the Arabs, and we are living through the final galut of Galut Ishmael, which will eventually lead to the war of Gog and Magog, as our foreign talent. And attempting shalom with them is absolutely futile. No Camp David, no roadmaps, no handshakes on the White House lawn will foster peace, and only when the Mashiach comes in here of the Amenu will peace actually exist. David HaMelech tells us in Tehillim, in source 1 over there, Rabbah Shachanan HaNashim Tanei Shalom, I have dwelt, my soul has dwelt for many years with those that hate peace. Ani Shalom V'chi Adaber Hema L'milchama, I come for peace but they speak war, says the Mesudat David. Ani Beteh Shalom, I really want peace. V'kasher Adaber Lehem Shalom, but when I speak to them in peace, what are they thinking? They're thinking how many bus bombs they can send our way. If we look at the Torah itself as our guide, it teaches us something I think very important about the tactics and relationships we should have with Shalom and the non-Jewish world. The Torah tells us in Sefer Bamidbar Perek Kaf, Vayishlach Malachim, Moshe Malachim Mikadesh and Melech Edom, they were camped in Kadesh, he sends messengers to the king of Edom, Ko'amar Achicha Yisrael, so say your brothers Yisrael, Ata Yadat, you know it, Kol HaTela'a Asher Masasanu, you know all the problems we've had. Vayerdu Avotenu Mitzrayma, we went down to Egypt, Vaneshev and Mitzrayim Yabim Ramim, we were there for many days, Vayareu Lan Mitzrayim, they were very mad to us, Vilavotenu to our forefathers, Vanitaket Hashem, we cried out to Hashem, Vayishma Kolenu, he heard our voice, Vayishlach Malach, Vayotenu Mitzrayim, Vina Nachum Bekadesh Ir Kesed Yulechem, we now find ourselves on the border of your town. Nader in Abar Secha, let us pass through your land, and don't worry, Lo na'avor b'stevekem, we won't touch your vineyards or your fields. Lo nishteme be'er, we won't drink from your wealth. Derech hamelech nelech, we will go in the way of the king. Lo nite yamin usmo, we won't go to the left or the right path. Ad Hashem avol b'lecha, we'll go straight through. Elam comes along and responds, Vayomer el avedom, lo ta'avor bi, you will not pass. Pen b'cherev, lest I come out against you with a sword to meet you. Okay. What is bizarre is that just after Edom quite unequivocally rejects Moses' request, the Jewish people think they can do better. And Pasuk Yitzchak says, "Vayomru elav b'nei Yisrael." They try again. Tell Moshe Rabbeinu, say the Jews, tell them the following: "B'misinal aleh, we will stick to your path. V'imimecha nishteh, but if we drink from your waters, don't worry. Ani yimiknai, whether us or our cattle, natim micharam, will give you full price for it. Rak en davar v'agdei v'ar, we just want to pass by." Vayomer lo ta'avor. Edom's response this time is, you will not pass. Vayetze Edom Mikron, only won't you pass. They came out to meet them, Be'am Kaved Liyad Chazaka, with full military artillery. The Jewish people added something rather insignificant to Moshe's words, nothing that apparently would convince Edom otherwise to let them pass. And yet Edom's response the second time was much more threatening. The first expression, they use the expression, the first response of pen, lest we come out to meet you. Now, there's a well-known concept that in Lashon HaKodesh, there's no such thing as a synonym. Every word has its meaning, every word has relevance. The way we say perhaps or lest in Hebrew is either pen or ulai. They're both relevant words and both have their meaning. The Vilna Gaon says, Sefer Kol HaNiyahu, quoted at the bottom, Omnam yesh levayah, one has explained, Yenei Lashon Safek, the concept of doubt, yesh ba'al avom Lashon HaKodesh b'shne shemot, Hanyudafin. There's two separate words. Ha'echa b'lashon peh, ve'asheni b'lashon ulai. Ve'achiluk b'nehem, you want to know the difference between these two words, kachu is as follows. Dim ha'omer chafet, shelo yitkayem ha'safek, if the person speaking does not want the doubt to come about, asher ole adato, ne'ema b'lashon peh. If he doesn't want what he's thinking to come about, he uses the expression peh. Kemo pen yisrael v'alchem, perhaps they'll turn up the idols, which obviously we don't want. Pen yedavarim levecha belial, pen yeshbachem isho isha shelo avo pone hayom. Umuchaf minoshon pen, shehomer eneno chafet shizkeyem asafek. Pen expresses, or does not express, that what one is saying should come about. Ukemo shamu chazal, hishamer pen v'aleno eno elo tasigmon ha'ibin. V'im ha'omer yachpot shizkeyem hadavar, if the person speaking wants what he's saying to come about, as Omer Belashon Ulai, says the Nagon, then you use the word Ulai. Kemo Ulai Yesh Hamishim Tzadikim, the dialogue between Abraham and Shem. Perhaps there's 50 Tzadikim. And if there is, don't destroy Sodom. Ulai Achapira Be'at Satatem. Ulai Yuchal Eilachem Bo. Im Kemukach Miloshon Ulai, Sha'oimer Chafet Shikayem Asafek. When one uses the expression Ulai, says the Nagon, he wants the doubt to come about. It is therefore strange that if you look at the response of Edom to Moshe's request in Pasuk Yudchet, Vayomer elav Edom, you will not pass, pen b'cherev eselikotecha, perhaps I will come out with a sword to destroy you. It implies that if we do come and destroy you, that's not really our intent. We would rather not. But it's clear from their second response that they really wanted to destroy the Bnei Yisrael, because it says in Pasuk Kaf quite clearly that they came out to meet them with full artillery. Esau's descendants, generally speaking, are always happy to make life difficult for us. And therefore, why did they hesitate in their first response? The world old adage of Ma'aseh Avot Siman Lebanim, loosely translated as like father, like son. Whatever happens to our ancestors forbears what happens to us in the future. So Yaakov's dealings with Esav carry major clues how we have to deal with the descendants of Esav in this last Galut, namely Edom. And so too the Jewish people's journey through the desert for 2,000 years that we find ourselves in Galut. Every encampment that they stopped at symbolizes another point in history, and the Sfatanus elaborates on this in Parashat Matzei, that if you want to find out how you deal with certain challenges along the timeline of Jewish history, find out where the Jews camped, find out where that was, and there you'll find the clues to deal with it. By the very same token, the Jews' encounter with Edom before entering Eretz Yisrael, Moshe's request and Edom's reply, the Jewish people's request and Edom's reply, teaches us about our final encounter with Edom before the final Geulah. And from the Torah we hear, we see something quite amazing, that there's two approaches that can be dealt with Edom. Moshe teaches the way of separation. He says, you know, you know all the problems we had in Mitzrayim, you know about it. Although you, Edom, as Rashi points out, are descendants of Abraham Avinu, we fulfilled the prerequisite of slavery, and therefore Eretz Yisrael is ours. You will remain in the land of Seir. But all we're asking is, let us pass through your land. In fact, we won't even drink your water. Derech HaMelech Melech, we will go on the way of kings of all kings, the Almighty. And we will not draw from your world of knowledge, we will only drink from the world of our knowledge of Chazal, neither turning left or right from their teaching. And Edom comes and replied respectfully, Lo Ta'avor, you're not going to pass through our land, because we might come out and destroy you, but that is not our intent. We mean you no harm. The Jews, as always, think they know a little better than our leaders how to deal with Edom and with the corresponding Galut that we find ourselves in. And their request was, quite frankly, assimilation. B'misina la'aleh, the Torah says, we will keep to the beaten path. The cultural paths of Edom are very good in our eyes. We will follow your ways. If we drink from your waters, when we drink from your teachings and partake of your knowledge, we will repay you in kind with the wisdom of our forefathers. And don't worry, we won't make the same mistake as Yaakov did when he spurned Esau's request to unite the camps. We'll live together, we'll unite, there'll be shalom. But Edom's response had no hesitance in here, there was no pen. Vayomer lo ta'avor, you will not pass, we want absolutely no part of you, we would rather destroy you than have you assimilate with us. Sefer Nero Ziel points out that had the Jews in the Midbar and throughout the various Galiyot in history perhaps followed Moshe's approach, the past 2,000 years may not have been plagued with such persecution and misery. But like father, like son, throughout the generations, we have chosen again and again the approach of our ancestors attempting to assimilate and find favor in the eyes of our host countries. And each time, history dictates quite clearly, Vayetze Edom Nikrato Be'am Kabedu V'yad Chazaka. On a more positive note, the Midrash source over here that we source 3. Rabbi Shua the Tachnim B'Shem Rav Levi Gadol Shalom. Shalom is so great. Shekol haberachot v'tovot v'nechamot shekadosh baruch hu, all the blessings and goodness and consolations of Hashem mevi'an al Yisrael v'chotmim b'shalom. Concludes with shalom. And if we think about it, all the major tefillot that we say on a daily basis end in shalom. Dukkanim that we say in Yom Tov ends in shalom. Birkat Hamazon ends in shalom. Kaddish ends in shalom. The Amida prayer ends in shalom. And they conclude like this quite simply because the famous Mishnah, the last Mishnah in Tash, Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Le'Amsi L'Chol Tzadik V'Tzadik, etc. Lo Matzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Keli Mafsik Bracha L'Yisrael El HaShalom. The greatest Keli or receptacle to receive all brachot is shalom. So we daven Amida, we want health, we want forgiveness, we want parnasa, we want sustenance. You need the receptacle to receive all those blessings, and that's shalom. The Keli, says the Ben Ishchai, is Kohen Nevi Yisrael. The first business and economy class people of the Jewish people, all coming together in peace and harmony. Shimon Schwab explained that the last blessing of Shmon Esra, the Sim Shalom blessing, is a request for several things. The first thing that we're asking for when we say this 3 times a day is Menuchas HaNefesh, peace of mind. And that is in fact the highest form of Shalom. And then we go on and we ask, Toiva u'bracha chen v'chesed v'rachamim. Goodness and blessing, grace, kindness and mercy. Because these are the blessings which we can actually recognize, or through which we can recognize that Hashem indeed loves us. And these particular blessings leave the neshama with a sense of feeling at peace with Hashem. But it's not enough to have peace personally. So we continue our tefillah and daven that this peace and serenity should extend to Alenu wa Kol Yisrael. So everyone in Klal Yisrael should be blessed personally with shalom. But then we say it's not enough to be blessed personally with shalom. There should be shalom between every single person. Barachenu avinu kulanu ke'echad be'opanecha. All of us together, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Ha'el panecha v'nivasher. Shine your face on us, and we will say it and say Chazal, En lanu ela he'arat panim. The only thing we need to be saved is that Hashem Kaviyakul shines His face upon us. But there's one proviso, and that is that Hashem's friendly face is only shown towards us when there is shalom. He smiles at us when we can smile at others. And then poignantly we conclude, V'tov be'enecha le'vrecha kol ha'mecha yisrael becholet u'chol sha'a bishlomecha. Bless the Jewish people at all time with your peace. 24/7, somewhere in the world is plotting some form of bloodshed. Somewhere in the world there is strife. Somewhere in the world someone may be endangering someone else's life. So we daven that at every single moment in our lives, we say and we declare that we are totally dependent on your shalom, implying constant protection from all wars, from all bus bombings, from stabbings, from all muggings, etc. But the first level of shalom that's mentioned here, of menukasa nefesh, I think is this real key to real fortune and success. And quite simply because somebody who is serene in control of his thoughts and feelings, that is not at mercy to all the external events that attempt to influence human moods, is a tremendous thing. One who has menuchat ha-nefesh, this peace of mind, gives such a positive attitude to life that even life's cruelest blows cannot crush our spirits. Somebody who's flying off the handle every 2 minutes and can't maintain peace because he's always getting angry also falls into this category. The well-known Gemara that says, "Kol hakoes, kol mine ginam sholtim bo," that whoever gets angry, all forms of hell rule over him. We usually understand it to mean that if you get angry, you're going to end up down there. But Yerucham Leibowitz pointed out that it doesn't mean hell down there; it means hell on earth. One who is always losing it, one who is always exploding, is living hell down here. He's out of control. He's not a master of his life. He's ruled by everything that happens to him, and that someone does to him. And Churchill once said a great line, and that you can judge a stature of a person by those things that anger him. The smaller the man, the greater amount of trivialities that affect him and make him lose control. The more elevated the man, the fewer things cause him to grow angry. So we have to attempt to work on menuchat ha-nefesh. And how do we achieve this? Quite simply, it's to attempt to live with the mindset and accept that whatever Hashem sends our way, whatever life proportions to us, is supposed to be that way, and not to demand that life conforms with our expectations. The sister Rebbe of Mordechai Lechowitz once said that if things are not the way you want them to be, you should want them to be as they are. There's a lot of truth in that. On another level, there's shalom with Hashem, shalom with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avot that we're reading now last week, Marbesh Tzedakah, Marbesh Shalom. A person that increases tzedakah, charity, increases peace. The literal meaning is quite simple, that as a result of giving tzedakah, everyone's happy and you foster peace among the poor. Sfat Emet says something quite differently. He says, Marbesh Shalom Klatim Mala LaHashem. A person who gives a lot of tzedakah increases peace towards Hashem. By giving tzedakah to an ani, the ani does not start questioning the ways of God. When I was in the mirror, and my dear was about 15 minutes away, so I had the opportunity to listen to many tapes. I remember once hearing a tape by Rabbi Krohn on tzedakah, and he mentioned that in the 1960s, when his father passed away, he became a moel at the age of 20. And most people don't take a moel who is that young and inexperienced. So things were very tough. There was a guy that called him up, I think his name was Mr. Israel, and he said, you know what, I've got something to give you. He gave him an envelope with $1,500. And he said to him, take this. He said, no, I don't want to take stock. He says, not stock, it's a loan. So he said, fine. He says, whenever you can pay it back, pay it back. 2 years later, he's gone on his feet, he's done quite a few chops, he had enough money. He came, he says, fine, you can take it. He said, no, I don't want it back. He said, what do you mean? He said, it's a loan. He says, there is a loan. I'm going to tell you a story. He said, 3 years earlier, there was another guy called Mr. Leibovitz, one of these. I was bankrupt. He gave me this money. And he said, you know what? Take this. I said, I don't want to take tzedakah. He said, don't worry. It's not tzedakah. It's a loan. I came to pay it back. He says, no, it's not. You don't pay it back to me. Keep it, and when somebody needs it, you pay it to them. So I'm telling you the same thing. I don't need it. When somebody else needs this money, you pay it back to them. That was shalom between him and Hashem, the most amazing idea. Time permitting, conclude with two stories to show the gadlut of two great Torah giants, who both personified with their raison d'etre, always trying to foster shalom. But just to point out one other thing that we're saying here. Shalom is ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, loving our fellow man like ourselves. And this is not just a rare pasuk. There's something that comes before it and something that comes after it, as we saw in last week's parasha. People have this concept and they say, listen, okay, we'll make peace with people, we'll love everyone. There's some people though I just don't get along with. These are shrewd politics, they broke me, I hate this guy, I can't love them. Everyone else I love, but there's certain individuals I just can't get along with. Comes along the Torah and says, Lotikom velotitor, ve'atalerecha kamocha ani Hashem. What's Lotikom velotitor? Very briefly, update the Gemara's examples. You live on a road which is very, very posh. Your neighbor has seven cars in the driveway. Yours, you only have a little mini. It breaks down. You go over to your neighbor and say, listen, you've got seven cars in the driveway. Let me borrow one. The neighbor says, I'm sorry, we don't lend cars. I can do insurance on the spot. I'm very sorry, we don't lend cars. You've got seven in the driveway. You can't. No, I'm sorry, we don't lend cars. This is a neighbor who's always so good to you. A few weeks later, she comes, knocks on the door. All my seven cars are being serviced. That's the second borrow your mini. I've got to go into town. Torah says, you're not allowed to say, you don't lend me your cars, I'm not lending my cars. Lotikom, no vengeance. Okay. What about saying, I'm going to lend you my mini only because I'm not like you. You don't lend me your cars, you're a nobody, good for nothing. I'll lend it because I'm a good guy. Lotitor, don't bear grudge. Now comes along the Torah and says, that guy who you hated because you missed your appointment who didn't lend you the car. You can't be vengeful. You can't bear a grudge. That same guy, the Haftarah Kamocha, love him like you love yourself. Are you mad? It's one thing that I've got to not be vengeful towards him, it's one thing I can't bear a grudge, but I've got to love him like I love myself. It's him. Says the Torah, yes. Ani Hashem. That is your person in life. There's no question. There's no reason to hate anyone. God does not make anyone do anything in this world. They are, so to speak, his messengers. And if it's supposed to be that way, if it wouldn't have been him, it would have been someone else. If someone says something negative to you, to live with that mindset and appreciate the fact that it was supposed to happen. Roshnoya Kotler, the son of Rav Aaron Kotler, was once attending a wedding in Lakewood, or just outside Lakewood. And he told his Talmud, who was outside, to wait for him. Because after the chuppah, he had an important meeting in Lakewood, he had to get straight back home. The chuppah finished, and the Talmud went to find him, he couldn't find him. Eventually he saw him, he said, don't worry, I'm sorry, I'm a bit late, I'll be another half an hour. Half an hour later, he saw him again, he said, I've decided to stay to the end of the wedding, I'm sorry. And like all customers, they finished very late. And the Talmud asked him on the way home, he said, you had an important meeting? He said, yeah, I rescheduled it. He said, but why did he say he's supposed to be off to the chuppah? He said, something took place. He said, and actually something didn't take place that made me change my mind. I didn't get a bracha under the chuppah. He said, but these trivial things don't impact on my life. Brachas under the chuppah are non-obligations. Are obligations, they're not honored. 30 seconds of kavod is meaningless. But I was concerned at the false impression, said Rosh Meir Kotler, of my southern accent. Maybe one mechutin who knows me more personally than the other would see it as a sign of protest. I didn't get a first. Brachas, I'm leaving early. Chas v'shalom, that could cause heartache and a rift in between machatonim, so I stayed longer. And then I thought, you know what, I better stay till the end of the chuppah, just in case there's the slightest chashash that I left in the broiger. And he told the Talmud that, you know, there's important things in life, and then there are essential things in life. And there's one thing that supersedes everything in life, and that's shalom and fostering it between man and man. So I decided to stay and miss the meeting. In 1980, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky traveled from America to Israel to the Knesia Gedolah of Agudat Yisrael, which happened to take place in Yerushalayim that year. And at that particular time in his life, Rav Yaakov felt extremely weak, and he didn't actually feel he was physically making the trip, going to be able to make the trip to Eretz Yisrael. He was so concerned about himself while he was there that he wrote a note to say that if he would die in Eretz Yisrael, he should be buried there and he shouldn't be taken back to America, although all his family and Talmidim were there. Because of his very physical condition, he didn't travel around much, he didn't give any shiurim, but he said, I want to go to one yeshiva. I want to go to the yeshiva of Kol Yaakov. It's in Beit Dagon, for those who know where it is. And he went to this yeshiva and he got up to speak. And as he got up to speak, he was very emotional and he began to cry. And he said as follows, "My entire life I wanted to be able to greet Mashiach. I now feel that my time is ebbing on and I won't have this merit. But if I can't greet Mashiach, at least I want to be amongst a group of people who I know for sure will be amongst those who greet Mashiach. And I know that this yeshiva will be amongst those that greet Mashiach." What was so special about the yeshiva of Kol Yaakov? Did they know Shas by heart? Were all the Bokrim careful to come on time to davening? Don't think so. This yeshiva was special because in its time it was the only yeshiva that made peace between Ashkenazim and Sephardi Bokrim. It was the one yeshiva in its time where students of European and Russian descent and students of Spanish and Turkish and Moroccan descent learned together, dormed together, lived the yeshiva life together and made shalom between these two sometimes at odd segments of the Jewish people. We need to take advice from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. If you want a segula, to be amongst those that greet Mashiach, we must take action to make shalom between husband and wife, between man and his fellow man, between Hasidim and Mitznagdim, between Sfarim and Ashkenazim. Guarantee that Hashem understands everything you say, be it Shabbat or be it Shabbos, or even Behiyim Sholbach, I'm not sure about that one, but you get the point. We have to strive to make shalom, and Rav Yaakov says we will be amongst those who greet Mashiach, and as the final source says over there, the Yalkut Shimoni, Rabban Aminan Gadol HaShalom, shalom is so great, Kesheshemelech Mashiach Bad, and when the King of Mashiach comes, Eno Poseach Ela B'Shalom, he will start only by shalom, Shemem Bar Prophet from Yeshayah, Manavu Al Harim Raglem Mevaser, Masmiya Shalom, here our turn should be as well. We should be Zocher to dance at the Kotel. The Shalom with unity together, Bimhei Rabbi Aminu, Amen.